yesterday I had the opportunity to run over to the pharmacy, pick up a prescription, and on the way there I got caught in a huge traffic jam. I turned on the radio thinking it might be able to keep me company in this traffic jam, and I found stations playing songs. One of the songs was about jingling bells. One of the songs was about chestnuts that were roasting on an open fire. I heard a song about a snowman named Frosty and a reindeer named Rudolph. And when I got to the drugstore, all of the cashiers were wearing red Santa caps, and I kid you not, one of them actually had tinsel strewn around her like it was a mink stole, like she was going out on the town. All the clues were present. It must be Christmas time in the city. Yet as Christians, we know the truth. We're really not quite there just yet. Beginning last Sunday, continuing this Sunday, and with two more Sundays still to come after today, we first get to journey through the season of Advent before we reach the season of Christmas. And as we talked about last week, Advent's a time of preparation, a time of anticipation, a time when we get to prepare ourselves to receive the greatest gift ever given, a time when we get to anticipate the coming of God Himself into the world as He did 2,000 years ago in the presence of a wee little babe who the prophets prophesied would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us, and who the angels of heaven declare would be named Jesus, a name which means our God saves. Yet despite the signals and symbols present in the world today, again, as Christians, we know we aren't quite there just yet. Christmas will come, but first we journey through the four Sundays of Advent. We will celebrate the birth of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, but first, we prepare. The clues of the world would suggest that we prepare by cleaning up the house and placing up the decorations. Who's been doing that? Hands up. All right. By putting up the tree and purchasing presents. Who's been doing that? Hands up. Yeah, a lot of you. All right. By anticipating the gifts we're going to receive that are wrapped in pretty paper. Who's been doing a little of that? Everybody, huh? But the world doesn't really understand what we know as Christians. The world doesn't understand that our calling isn't to clean up the house and place up decorations, but rather to clean out our hearts and to let the light of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us shine for a very dark world to see. The world doesn't understand that our calling isn't to put up the tree, making sure the star on the top of the tree shines bright, and presents placed beneath the tree are wrapped in beautifully colored paper. But rather, as Christians, our calling is to remember the meaning of the star that shone so bright over the little town of Bethlehem, marking the place underneath a thatch roof wherein a baby lay, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. That this baby was of the divine tree and lineage of King David, and that he would grow up to tell us that he alone is the vine, and we are the branches of the family tree of God Almighty. While the world anticipates what earthly gifts they may receive this year, Christians should call to mind reverently, meditating with contemplative veracity, the reality that the greatest gift ever given and that could ever be received isn't found as a present beneath a tree, but rather it is this. It is the gift of Emmanuel, God with us, that came not as a beautifully wrapped present, but as a supernaturally uncreated presence, simply to be with us. In our Old Testament lesson today, we hear the prophet Malachi tell the people of God that the voice of the Lord declares, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. And in our gospel reading, St. Luke quotes another Old Testament prophet, this one named Isaiah, who tells of the word of the Lord which declares of a voice of one calling in the wilderness. What is that voice calling? These words. Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth. And all people will see God's salvation. Now, Luke was an interesting man. Unlike the other three gospel writers, Luke was not a Jew, but rather Luke was a Gentile. Luke was not an uneducated and simple fisherman like so many of the apostles, but rather a scholarly and educated physician and historian. And so for Luke, being the consummate historian means it's important for him to point out to his readers not only who the voice in the wilderness is, but exactly when he's recording this ancient prophecy coming to fruition. And this is why we have Luke listing all those unpronounceable names of people who were in high places at that time. He does so by painstakingly telling us exactly what's going on in the world, by telling us exactly who's in high offices of the world and when John the Baptist shows up in the wilderness, when John shows up declaring, repent, so that you may be forgiven of your sins. Repent so that when the king who is coming, he'll come and find his kingdom and his subjects ready and worthy to receive him. You know, this past fall, when the Pope came to visit North America, those cities that were receiving him spent millions of dollars improving their infrastructure and even building special arenas to hold audiences that wanted to see and hear this man of God speak. Likewise, every 4 years in our country, the two major political parties, they hold their conventions where they nominate those who will go on to run for president of the United States. And cities all around the nation will vie for a chance to be the host city for these conventions. The city that's awarded a convention will inevitably end up investing millions upon millions of dollars to improve infrastructure, to upgrade roads and bridges, to bring about new beauty where old, run-down urban jungles thrive. Why do such investments and outward improvements happen? They happen because someone of importance is coming to the town. This is not a new thing. Even in biblical days, when a king or another important government official was coming to town, the people of the town, in preparation of his arrival, they would spruce up the place, filling in the holes in their roads. That's quite a task in New Orleans. They would fill in the holes of the roads. They'd make crooked roads straight. They'd make rough roads smooth. And this is exactly why John the Baptist says, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth. Yet John wasn't telling people to prepare for an earthly king. Rather, he was telling them, prepare the way for the coming of the King of Kings. John didn't mean, hey, go out and raise some taxes, get these roads improved, get the outward appearances made pretty. But rather, he meant repent so that the sin that serves to block you from being in the holy presence of an almighty God may be done away with. A crooked life straightened, a hardened heart softened. And so let us continue, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, to steadfastly prepare this Advent season, not for worldly glitz and glamour of improved outward appearances, but let us prepare to receive Emmanuel, the uncreated Creator, who before he even created the foundations of the world, Scripture tells us, chose each and every one of us to be a part of his holy family, that we may be, as 1 Peter says, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that we may declare the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. Let us this Advent season continue to prepare to receive the King of Kings, the wee little babe, meek and humble, spotless and pure, light from light, true God from true God, the one who would become the perfect Lamb of God, who would be raised up on a cross, his body sacrificed for our bodies, his blood poured out for our sins, receiving the punishment that we actually deserved, so that we could receive the blessings of mercy and grace that we don't deserve, but that God through his love gives to us anyway. Let us this Advent season continue to prepare to receive the greatest gift ever given. And my prayer this morning for us is that same prayer that Paul prayed, that our love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that we may be able to discern what is best, and that we may become pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. And in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.